I just wanted to say a little bit about what Dennis said. There might not be no party here, but there's going to be one heck of a celebration when we have that baptism today. Well, welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. We just wanted to share with you a little bit about our journey and also some other things that God's been teaching us. So it's just been a privilege and an honor to be here and to be able to speak to the body of Christ. So before we get started, I'd just like to open with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for another wonderful day today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak to the body of Christ. Lord, we just welcome the Holy Spirit here today as we speak, Lord, that you will just give us the words to say to be able to convey to your people, Lord. We just want to be able to have open hearts and open minds to what you have to say to us today. Lord, thank you for this opportunity again. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're excited to be here. We just wanted to speak a little bit about further recap for what we had last time that we were here. Yes. It's about trusting God and our finances and our marriage and getting out of debt. So a lot of times we look back on the things that have happened, and God is really impressed on our hearts for the things that he wants us to know and to be able to live and get through. He's really been teaching us a lot about how the kingdom works. That's pretty ironic that they sang that song, the Lord's Prayer, yeah. And it ties right into what we're speaking about today from bringing the kingdom of God from heaven to earth. So we just want to talk to you a little bit about that.
Yeah. Last time when we spoke, okay, thanks. Hold it closer. Oh, yeah. you know, last time when we spoke, we made jokes and we were able to laugh about our situation because that's been a while. But I felt like God putting it on my heart that, you know, when we were going through our mess, we weren't laughing. you know, we had to deal with a lot of emotions that went with being in the mess and being so lost for so long. And for me, I had a lot of shame and guilt and embarrassment. You know, when the realization of what a financial wreck we were and our marriage and our parenting, you know, I had to work through all that. And God was so gracious that he did. These weren't emotions that he brought to me. These were things that that I just had to understand and to accept the mess that we had made, but now God was going to walk us through, and he was going to teach us how to do things his way, which was so much better than what we had been doing. So I did want to say that yes, we were able to laugh and make jokes and make light of it, but there was a period of time that we couldn't even talk about the mess after we got out of it. We were still very emotional about what God had done for us, and we were very overwhelmed for his love for us, that he didn't keep holding it over our head like, oh, Linda, you're such a mess. You know, he never did that. And so we know that today as we speak, every one of us is in a different place on our journey. And God's never going to say to us, oh, man, you really messed that one up. I don't think I can help you.
Until we get that picture on the inside of what it's going to look like, what God has plans for us, it's we're probably not never going to get it. Because yeah. What God does is it has to happen in the spiritual realm before it happens in the natural. And a lot of times we can't see that because we look through our physical eyes, that it's just amazing how God shows us from one place to another. He's been teaching us a lot about his kingdom and how it works. Mark 11:22-25, I'm going to get Linda to read that, and we'll unpack that a little bit. And that's yeah. Basically about our whole message for today. That's the scripture.
Yeah, this... just to kind of set this up, this is when Jesus had seen the fig tree. He was hungry and he saw the leaves, so he was expecting fruit, and there wasn't any fruit there, so he cursed it. And then the next day, Peter's like, oh my goodness, that fig tree's dead. And so, you know, they're questioning Jesus, like, wow. And so it starts in verse 22. Jesus says, have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that it is granted to you, and you will get it. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Let it drop, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you. Amen. And let it drop.
So it's important to do what God asks us to do. Jesus said to have faith in God constantly. That means all the time. One of the biggest things in that passage is have faith and believe. But it's almost like to speak to your mountains, I guess, is basically what God wants us to do, and not doubt and not have any fear of the things that we say and the things that are in the spiritual realm first, and then we be able to speak it out to our family and to God. And because
he gave me a vision of like a bookcase, and you've got bookends, and one of the bookends is faith, and the other bookend is forgiveness. And we have to be really anchored in those. Because when we had a belief system when we were in our mess, it was just the wrong belief system.
But it was the wrong one.
So our faith was in our money, in our things, and in ourselves. That's where we had put our faith. And Jesus is saying we have to have faith in God constantly. Right. And fear was a big one, because I lived in fear and torment for way too long. And that's faith.
So the two bookends are faith and forgiveness.
Yes.
And then in the center of it is speaking and believing God's word. So we don't never want to doubt God's word. We always want to believe, because there's a little saying, believe it and receive it, doubt it or live without it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth to that, actually. That one thing that I'll give you an example of the power that comes in for the forgiveness. If we don't forgive the people that we have the animosity against, or something against us that we just don't forgive them, well, that power is not being able to come through, because that's like having your breaker box at the house that comes in, your 200 amp power that comes in. It comes into your box, and that's full power, but there's also tiny little breakers that turn lights on in your kitchen and your bathroom and your hallway. If they're shut off, that's the same thing that's shut off between our Father and us. But if they're turned on, that full power can go back through again. So that's just a little illustration that I heard someone else say at one time.
And that is so important that we keep that. We were just talking about it in Sunday school this morning, that we keep that pathway clear. And God has been very clear in his word that if we're walking in unforgiveness, you can't walk in unforgiveness and walk in love and power.
That's right.
We can't do it. And then our faith is going to be messed up too.
Right.
So if our faith is not where it should be, and we're walking in unforgiveness, we're going to be speaking and believing some things that aren't right. And see, we know, because that's where we were. We spoke. I spoke. Well, we both did. You were guilty, too.
Guilty.
Because it's always me. Have you noticed that? I'm always the bad one.
I was guilty just as much.
Let's dig up some dirt on Rusty.
Again.
No, I'm just kidding. I know you'll have stories.
James 5:14 says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if we just remember that the same power that is forgiveness, the same power that forgives is the same power that heals.
Right. And so, we got to experience that. You know, we've experienced God's forgiveness. We've experienced his healing. we know what it is to live and speak and believe things that are so wrong. And for so many years, this is what we would say. It's never going to get any better than this. It's just never going to get any better than this. We're going to work like dogs all of our life. Well, you said that.
I actually hear a lot of people saying that. If you go to a grocery store, like yesterday we were at a soccer game, and I heard this lady sitting beside us, and she was saying that it's just so hot out here, and it just seems like it's never going to get cooler. Well, you have to, and there was actually, it was hot, but there was a nice breeze blowing, and I'm just sitting there thanking God for the breeze.
Yeah, we're thanking God for the breeze.
And she's saying, it's just really hot out here. I can't hardly stand it. And I think a lot of times in life what we do is we speak doom on ourselves, and that is so important that we speak positive things to our family and to whoever we're around.
And, God really dealt with us and what we were speaking and what we were believing. And he started bringing scriptures to us. Matthew 15:18 says, what comes out of our mouth comes from our heart.
That's right.
So we can say all day long that, we believe God for this and we believe God for that. But you know what? At 3:00 in the morning when the caucus hit in the... Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, what?
Too late.
It's already recorded.
Oh, man. When it hits the fan... What we really believe is what's coming out. And when we were going through our mess, 3 a.m., when, you can't sleep and you're walking the floors and you're scared. And
I've been there.
That's what's coming out is fear and anger and doubt and unforgiveness. That's what's in our heart. That was what was in my heart, and that's what was coming out.
Right. Proverbs 23:7 says, as we think in our hearts, so we are.
And Proverbs 18:21 says, words kill and words give life. So they're either poison or they're fruit, and we get to choose. We get to choose what kind of words we're speaking and what's getting planted in our hearts.
Right. Deuteronomy 30:19. Today I have given you a choice between life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life. I still think that it's so important for us to be able to speak into our lives, even though we don't see it in the natural. It's so important for us to be able to speak that out and speak the truth,
yeah,
because we're connected to our Father in heaven. He's the one that spoke everything into existence, and we're related to him. He is our daddy. So what happened when he spoke, let there be light, 186,000 miles per second, light came out of his mouth, and it was perfect distance
between
earth and the sun. And it's just amazing how that worked, but that's how he did it. He spoke everything into existence, and he's basically telling us that's the same thing that we need to do. What we speak comes to pass. So if you speak death, you'll get death. If you speak life, you'll get life.
And when we were so buried in debt, we had $80,000 just on credit cards. Yeah, no. That was just credit cards. We also had loans on cars that we really shouldn't have been driving, a mortgage that was pretty big, medical bills, loans that we were paying that we had taken out to consolidate the credit cards that we kept running up. That's just a mess. When we started getting the revelation of how God wanted us to live, we were speaking things that we were not seeing yet. We
right.
had to believe God, and we had to speak things that right. were not existing yet, but according to God's word, it could. If we
right.
did things his way, he's going to get us out of this mess.
It comes back to getting that picture on the inside of your heart again and to be able to speak and know what God has for us, because there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible, and he never goes back on his word or his promises.
Joshua 1:8, and a lot of us are familiar with this passage, but I like how the Message translation reads.
It's talking about meditating on his word.
Don't for a minute let this book of the revelation be out of your mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage, don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take.
The main thing in that passage is meditate, to mutter, to be able to speak over and over again, day and night, to be able to meditate on his word. And once we get that deep in our heart, we'll never go wrong. It's just amazing how God does that for us. And if you trust him, he will do that.
And see, Psalm 1, verse 2 says that our delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his law, his instructions, we are to meditate day and night. And when we do that, then read the next scripture, we become that tree that's firmly planted by the streams of water. So we've got roots that are going deep where we can't be shaken. We can't be uprooted. See, we lived in Florida. We've seen some uprooting of literal trees from hurricanes and tropical storms that go through. So we've seen, and then you see those ones that are, they're still standing. There's all these trees around and they're uprooted and laying over. And then you see these others and you know they've been there a long time and their roots are deep. They're not going anywhere.
Right, their roots do.
So that's like really cool to see.
Yeah, and it's just like a basketball player or a baseball player when he practices, meditate and practice is basically the same word, because when they have muscle memory, that they being able to shoot a basketball or know when to swing to hit the ball, what happens is they get that down and they practice. So if we meditate on the word, it's the same thing as practicing his word, that we get it deep in our hearts. So when the trials do come, and they will, we'll know exactly what to do.
Right.
Because we've already been meditating on his word and have his word in our heart.
See, at 3 a.m., okay, you can call me if you want. My phone's probably going to be off, but I don't necessarily want to get a call at 3 a.m. saying, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. This has just happened. Pray. At 3 a.m., I know what to do. I know my scriptures. I know God's word. I know. And let me tell you, he was attacking last night. I was like, yeah, I know. You need to get behind me, Satan, because we're bringing a message.
Yes.
Hit the highway. You have no authority here. And we have to know who we are. We have to be very, very aware of the authority that has been given to us and walk in it.
When we were sick,
broke,
and our marriage falling apart that no duct tape in the world could put back together.
I know. He starts talking to me last night about, what was it, 200 mile an hour duct tape? I'm like,
It's what they use in NASCAR.
Did you know there was such a thing?
The cars back there. They call it 200 mile an hour tape. So, anyhow.
I mean, that's what he was relating our marriage to, that it couldn't even be put back together with 200 mile an hour duct tape. I'm like, okay. That's good. I don't know what it is. But
when we learn to speak God's word and believe and have faith, it's just amazing what God will do and how he'll bring us from one place to another, because it's just so important to, I can't really stress enough that, that
he had to rewire us.
Right.
He had to rewire our brains, our thoughts, and our hearts, because they were a mess. I can't emphasize this enough how much of a mess we were. But that's the beauty of this, is that even though we were this huge mess, God didn't give up on us. He saw in us what we couldn't see. He saw where our marriage could be, and he saw where we could be financially, and he saw where we could be in so many other areas that we just couldn't see it. You know, when you're just so beat down, you can't see.
What Linda's really saying is God don't see us.
What am I saying?
God don't see us the way that we see ourselves.
Right.
I mean, he just don't.
Praise God.
He sees prosperity. He sees everything that's good, because God can't give us anything that he don't have that's bad. What happens is that we need to rewire our brain to God's truth and make sure that our mind is lined up with his scriptures and the renewing of our mind.
Ephesians 4:23 says, "And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude." And, you know, you do feel that way when you're renewing your mind to God's word. You do feel a lightness that comes on. You know, some of that oppression and depression and all those yuck emotions that you're feeling, the more you're speaking God's word and the more you're praying it and meditating on it, it's just like you feel it lifting. Like some, if you could just imagine that you have your angel next to you just lifting off another 5-pound weight or brick or whatever.
A lot of times when we're in that situation, it's kind of hard to see our way clear of it, especially when there's so much guilt, shame, and unforgiveness. But God will bring you to a place where he'll be able to help you with it. I think I had a verse, I think it's in Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who gives us strength, or it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So if he says that he'll always be with us and never leave us, then we can't never go wrong no matter what happens.
That's right.
And Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So we have to renew the way that we think, because I'm pretty sure that insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results.
For years, we kept doing the same things over and over and over, thinking that things were going to change. The only way they changed was they got worse,
right,
instead of better.
As Romans 10:17 also says, faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. So if you want faith, you need to read his word. Because I know a lot of times when I was when I had something that I was worried about, I would just be worried about it. I think something just happened just the other day, and I was like really upset about it, and I just sat down in the chair.
Can I say it on here?
Yeah.
I can. There is a warrant out for my husband's arrest. There's some dirt, but it's not true.
Yeah, it's not true.
No, we did. We got a postcard that said there was a warrant out for his arrest. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
here we go.
Another from Florida.
You know, it's another distraction.
I knew it.
See?
I guess I'm a wanted man.
I was like, you better be good to me, honey, because I will not bail you out otherwise. But there was and this is a story some of you have already heard, and we'll be really brief with it, but there was a couple that sued Rusty for a job that he had done. And what was really interesting is that the job was done. They had paid us. They even took us out to dinner. They were so excited and thrilled with his work. And then a couple months later, they've got a lawsuit against him, which they did not win, but you still have to pay court costs and all these things. And we paid the court costs. We paid, you know, what they said. And thank goodness I always hold on to those records. The record that it was $100 difference. But we had to call our attorney, because you have to have an attorney when you go through all that other stuff. And have him, you know, go to their attorney and clear all that up. So, but he was, go ahead, you were mad.
I was really upset, because we did take care of what we were supposed to take care of. And I called the district attorney's office in Florida, and I talked to her, and she said, I'm sorry, I can't give you any information. So I called
the prosecutors.
So I called.
They're not going to tell you anything.
Then I called the sheriff's department, which had the warrant out for my arrest. And I said, hey, what did I do wrong? And they're saying, well, you'll have to talk to the district attorney. So I'm going back, and they just kept going around and around. And I got off the phone, and not that I was ready to hurt somebody, but I was just so upset that I couldn't get no answer, because they had been paid, everything had been taken care of, and I just sat down in the chair, and I just, really, honestly, I started worrying. Not that I was going to get put in jail and couldn't get out. I was just sitting there, and then all of a sudden God says, I got your back.
Yeah.
So what happened was, I just got up, and I just going about my business. And I told her when I got home, I said, it's a shame that I couldn't get off the phone and just start praising God and not thinking about, you know, worrying about it, because he does have our back every day. But we just got to realize that. But it wasn't long, I'd say maybe 5 minutes, but it shouldn't even have been 5 minutes. I should have known. I know who my dad is, and I know that he'll take care of us.
That's right. So what we have to know is, what do we believe? Like, what do I believe that no matter what you say, you can't shake me? At 3 a.m. when the devil's bringing all kinds of lies and twisting stuff around, what does Linda Miller believe that I cannot be shaken from? What do we believe as a couple and that we're pouring into our kids? So that's what we want to share with you, is some God of our beliefs that you will not be able to pull us away from.
That God is our provider, and he will provide for us. I mean, when you tithe and you give and all those things that he asks us to do, it is so important that that we do that. And then there's prosperity.
Well, 3 John 2 says that he does want us to prosper. He wants us to be in good health, even as our souls, which is our mind, will, and our emotions. So as they prosper too, he wants us to have the whole package. It's a package deal if we're willing to receive it. But we do have to do things his way. And that, when we, you know, we shared it last time, but tithing was not on my radar at all. I didn't even know what it was. I can remember calling my brother the first time that we heard that message about tithing, and he, you know, he's a big computer guy. He's always in front of a computer. This was before smartphones. And so I said, David, you know, we grew up in the same church. I'm like, what does tithe mean? And he goes, spell it. So right there, I knew he didn't know. So I was like, never mind.
Spell it.
Okay. So, you know, that, when you don't have money and God wants your first 10% of something that you don't have, that doesn't make sense. So
in the natural, it don't make sense.
In the natural, a lot of what God does not make sense. It's very opposite of what we think and feel. So for God to be our provider, then we had to do things kingdom way. And kingdom way means we're going to tithe and we're going to give. We've had people come to us who are godly people that read their Bible, and they've told us tithing is not for today. That's Old Testament. And we're like, sorry, you won't convince us of it. We're solid. We enjoy tithing. We enjoy giving back. It's a wonderful feeling. And when you know what you've been saved from, when you know, you don't mind.
Because he owns it all anyhow.
Right.
In Proverbs 11:24 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything.
That's pretty cut and dry. 1 Timothy 6:17, as for the rich in this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others, and not to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God, who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So what I take from that is that God doesn't have a problem with people that have wealth. He has a problem with people that wealth has them, and that they're chasing after uncertain riches. And we have that T-shirt. We had that down really, really well. We knew how to chase after uncertain riches.
God, it says that God's continuously provides for us. So that means everything, not just money. That means health, your wealth. He heals you. I know there's a couple preachers that I've heard of that believe that healing is not for today. But I got news for you. God is our healer.
Amen.
And he's healed many things for Linda and I. And I just want to, Linda's back for number one. We'll tell you a couple stories. But they healed. Linda's back was in so bad a shape that she couldn't even go to work. She couldn't get out of bed. I had to carry her to the shower. It was just amazing how one little thing in your body could make so much a difference in like a family's life. And I didn't mind doing all the other things that I had to do because she couldn't. But I just wanted to tell you that she was in pretty bad shape. And she started digging into the Word and figuring out what Scripture said about healing, about what God has for us every day, and about some of the things that that His truths say, that some of His promises say in the Bible about healing.
And that I really had to. I knew God is my provider now, and I knew Him as a restorer of, you know, a hopeless marriage, but I didn't know Him as a healer. I hadn't had any experience in that. I had to really know, what does God say about this? And that became my life, was because my life before had been so wrapped up in pain. You know, I lived off of ibuprofen and muscle relaxers and Percocet at times. That was my life. There was a lot of things that I missed out on over those couple of years, because every decision I made was calculated on, well, how long will I have to sit? How long will I be in a car? You know, when we used to enjoy driving up here to visit, well, I had to start flying, and I didn't want to stay in a hotel because the bed might mess me up more. I mean, my life revolved around my pain, and the nerve damage got so bad in my leg, I would just be walking along and my leg would go out, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, let there be something to catch me, you know, a countertop or whatever. And so you didn't know me then, so you didn't know that, but I became so immersed in God's word about healing, and I started. It's interesting, because then you start seeing people. He starts bringing people into your life that are being healed, and it's like, okay, he says in his word he's no respecter of persons, so if they can be healed, well, I should be able to be healed. And then the expectancy was there, and we were up here actually visiting at a prayer breakfast. We had taken someone to get prayer. I didn't even have it on. I don't know why. It wasn't even on my radar. And this woman comes up and she says, well, how about if we pray for you? Because I understand you have back pain. And I was like, well, okay. And let me tell you, you'll never, from that day on, when they laid hands on me and there was fire, and this was December 27th of 2006, so it was cold. I had layers on. But I could feel fire coming through hands on my back, and I was healed. So you can't shake us and tell us that healing's not for today. We've experienced God with that.
It is definitely for today. When we were in Florida, I had a really bad shoulder injury, and it was a torn rotator cuff, and it was 7 millimeter long and a half inch deep. And I got an MRI. That's why I know what the measurements were. So, Linda and I both prayed in agreement for my shoulder to be healed. And this went on probably for a month or
it was maybe, longer. It maybe seemed a month like or two. It was longer because we weren't sleeping at night. You know that thing seemed. Very
you couldn't
long.
Get comfortable because you lay on your side, your arm would hurt, and you lay the other side, and then lay flat, and your arm it would just put too much pressure on it. And I was at work one day. And at 2 o'clock, I remember it was right around 2 o'clock, my arm stopped hurting. After I went to do that, they asked me, they said that it'll be $10,000 for your shoulder.
That was our deductible. Yeah. $10,000 was our deductible. So we're like, okay,
for your shoulder to be operated on.
Fix your shoulder. Okay.
So anyhow, I was at work, and I came home at 3 o'clock because at 2 o'clock, my arm just stopped hurting because it hurt every day. I mean, it was really, really painful. It's hard to do construction work when you got one arm. I mean, I had two, but I just couldn't use it. But I came home, and I told Linda, I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, but my shoulder don't hurt anymore. I said, it just totally quit hurting. And she says, yeah, I know. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, Joel Hitchcock from Delaware called down here and prayed with me in agreement for your shoulder to be healed. So when I got home and I told Linda that, and she says, well, you've been healed, so you need to claim it. So I did, and that's from that point on, it never hurt me no more. I've never had any trouble with it. I never got an operation, anything. So that's why I know that God is our healer for today, and he will heal you every day. You just believe in him.
Will. We have other healing stories.
I mean, the same thing happened with Cody went skiing with the youth up to Pennsylvania, and he had
he fractured his clavicle and tore ligaments. So they wanted to put a plate in and reconstruct the ligament.
So we got scheduled for that to get an operation on that, and it was early one morning, the morning of the surgery,
the
and I was laying in bed, and I was just asking God. I said, God, we can get the surgery, or we can have you heal him. And I was just laying there, and nobody was up. I wasn't even up. I was just awake, just listening and praying. And God says, I'll heal my son just like I healed you.
And he did. And he did.
And he did. And Cody never wound up getting a surgery just like me. And, you know, we have to stand on God's truth and his word. Because a lot of times what happens is and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with getting surgery. If anybody's got surgery here, there is.
No, we've gone. We've had to go that route before.
Yeah, because Cody broke his, he had a four-wheeler accident and he had to get a plate in his
wrist,
arm. So,
yeah.
And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's what happened to us.
Whatever route God tells you to take, that's the route that you go. And he will bless that and he will provide for you as you go that journey. When Cody had to have the surgery, he had anesthesia. He did fine. He recovered very quickly. So just know what God wants you to do. Don't give in to what the fear. Yeah, fear will tell us differently and will distort things. So always let the Holy Spirit be your guide in what route you choose, or let him choose which way to go, because then you're protected and provided for.
Right.
That would be.
And then the other story was I had my knee. I went to the chiropractor about my knee, and it was really hurt. And I guess the ligaments that cover the whole part of my knee that hold everything together was just really hurting me really bad. Like in the morning, it was like 2 to 4 o'clock. And it would wake me up every night. I mean, I was up 2 or 3 times in the night waking her up, and it just wasn't no fun. And we prayed in agreement. And we just asked, you know, Lord, please heal my knee. And about 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you guys remember, but her and I came up front and we kneeled down and we prayed in agreement. And one thing that Linda said that I never really thought of, and I'm not saying that he didn't heal me before when we prayed, but what happened was when I came up front, I asked God to forgive me for anything that I did, or if I have anything against anyone anywhere, that just ask for his forgiveness, because I want that clear channel between him and I. And when I got up from the altar, my knee never hurt anymore. From then on out, I slept. I'm still sleeping. I don't have any trouble with it whatsoever. And I think that is so important for us to be able to have that forgiveness for people, because we can have that clear channel between us and our daddy.
What we're going to tie into Mark 11:22-25, and we're just hitting this real brief, is Mark 4. Uh-huh. Mark 4 is the parable of the sower. And in Mark 4:13, he's just taught on it, and the disciples are saying, I don't know what you meant. We don't understand. And he says to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? I don't know how many times I've probably read right over that and not gotten the fact that he wants us to know about sowing. And the vision that he gave us was, well, you know that in that parable, the ground represents our heart.
And the seed is God's. And the seed is God's word. So if we get good, so if we get the seed into the soil, which is our heart, down deep, no matter what comes up between either one of us or in our family, or trials or troubles, because they will come. It's not if they come; it's will they will come.
Right.
So if we have that planted deeply in our heart, God will just we'll be able to know the right things to say and do at the right time.
When you look out your back door at your garden, okay, so just imagine you have a garden out there. What are you growing?
We had a garden before we got going.
Our garden was horrendous.
We had a rotor tiller big time.
We were growing fear. We were growing unforgiveness, anger, stress.
We were speaking all the wrong things.
Right. That's what we were planting in our garden then. So now our garden, it's not where we want it to be yet, but we're on the way. It looks a lot different than when it did.
Because if you plant good or bad, it's just like a farmer. I mean, he plants corn, he expects corn to come up. He don't plant corn and expect soybeans. So it makes a difference what we plant. And if we plant the right thing, God is going to be able to help us get to where we need to be.
So take Mark 11. Speaking, believing, anchored by faith and forgiveness. And then we're planting some really cool gardens that are going to bring in crops that are just going to be amazing. And that's what we really, that's what God's teaching us, how important that is for us to pour it into our kids. Uh-huh. Our hope and desire is that they're going to pour it into their kids.
Generationally.
Right, right. And then we're going to do some damage.
And the devil don't want that.
Yeah. So every one of us has an assignment. If you're sitting here and you're breathing, you have an assignment. But you can't do it if you're not, if you're Linda and Rusty, what we were years ago, you can't be about your father's business because you're so beat down. You're tired, you're broke, you're sick, you're stressed. You can't be on assignment.
You're running after provision that's already been provided for you.
Right. Whatever your assignment is, God's got provision for it. Right. So we have to be listening and watching and expecting. And when we have that expectancy,
right,
it's good.
God is preparing all of us for the things that he wants us to know. I mean, everything is there he wants us to bring from the kingdom from heaven to earth, to be able to know that his word. And Linda was talking about Mark 4, about the sower and the...
We want to live the blessed life. And
right,
that's what you guys, we all should be walking in that and living it. And Eric, I love with the tennis ball. Because you know what? God does want us. He wants us going further and reaching for greater heights. Right. Such heights that unless we partner with him, we cannot get them.
Right.
That's what he wants for us. And you know what? It's going to take, this is way out of his comfort zone, being up here, way out. But he keeps doing it anyway because God wants him to, and God blesses him for overcoming that fear and anxiety, maybe just a little, about being up here. And so we got to get out of our comfort zones, and we got to reach high, because there is an amazing life that Jesus died to give us.
That's right. So I just wanted to invite anyone that wanted to come up front this morning for maybe prayer or anything that they have on their heart that they wanted to talk about, or just to be able to get alone with God. That's totally up to you guys. So I know we already had altar call, but there might be some of you that have some questions, maybe.
Yeah, we're available. What I do want to say is, the last time that we spoke, when I said that there was a void, an emptiness inside of me that I was trying to fill with money and with things. Okay, that is a God-sized hole. Okay, only Jesus could fill that void. There was no amount of material possessions that could fill that, and trust me, I tried. So if you have that God-sized hole that you have not filled yet, you haven't made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, this is your day.
So I guess we'll just end with that.
The end.